KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, in this week for Michael Krasny. It's one of those great conversation starter questions. In fact, if you have a spouse, partner, coworker, or friend nearby, ask them this question. When do you think you became an adult? Or take a moment and answer that question yourself. In our next hour of forum, we're going to talk about what being an adult means to you. Is adulthood tougher to attain today than it once was? Or do you think it's a status to avoid altogether? You can email us your thoughts at forum@kqed.org or post your answer on our website, kqed.org/forum. When did you become an adult? Next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, in this week for Michael Krasny. Some turning points in life are more obvious. Taking a new job, the birth of a child, marriage, divorce, the death of a loved one. But some transitions can be subtler, harder to pinpoint or even define, like adulthood. When do you think you became an adult? Of course, the answer could be one of those life-changing moments just mentioned, but it might also be the moment when you realize something very simple, very basic about life, like if you don't buy toilet paper, you won't have toilet paper. That definition of adulthood came from someone interviewed in Julie Beck's new piece in The Atlantic titled, When Do You Become an Adult? And in this hour form, we want to hear your answers to that question. You can send us your thoughts at kqed.org/forum, or you can call us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or email us at forum@kqed.org. We begin our conversation on this topic with some observations from Julie Beck. She's senior associate editor at The Atlantic and wrote the current story, When Do You Become an Adult? Julie Beck, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you on our program. I want to start with the first sentence, actually, in your story. I'm going to read it, first couple of sentences, and then have you pick up the story from there, because it's sort of a classic way stories like this begin, which is by telling a personal anecdote. And your piece in The Atlantic begins like this. It would probably be fair to call Henry aimless. After he graduated from Harvard, he moved back in with his parents. A boomerang kid, straight out of a trend piece about the travails of young adults. So, Julie, pick it up from there. Tell us a little bit more about Henry, just a little bare-bones sketch, and then tell us who he is.
Yeah, so Henry is someone who fits a lot of the stereotypes of what you think about, you know, trend pieces about young people and their problems kind of growing up. He went to college. He went to Harvard, actually, and then moved back in with his parents. And he actually moved in and out of his parents' house a couple times over the course of his kind of young adulthood. And he also moved in with a friend at one point, kind of crashed with him for a while, went out, I think, to New York and was looking for jobs there, then ended up coming back to his parents' house again. And he really went through a lot of different jobs as he was trying to figure out what he wanted to do with his life, you know. He was a magazine salesman for a while. He was teaching for a while, but he quit the teaching job after I think 2 weeks it was, and he even had a very brief job shoveling manure. And eventually, he did find success, he ended up being a writer. And I believe he was 31 when he published his first book. It had been 12 years of this sort of back and forth between, you know, home and venturing out on his own and all these different jobs. And the book was called A Week on the Concord and Merrimack Rivers, which is not his most famous book. His most famous book is Walden. He's Henry David Thoreau.
Such a great way, I think, of getting us into this topic, because I can imagine as you were telling the first part of that story before you revealed his identity, that a lot of either parents were thinking, "Now oh, that sounds like my adult child," or a lot of young adults were saying, see, there's possibilities here. What drew you to writing this story? How did this come up? Because it's such a kind of classic, you know, water cooler kind of question and the thing that sort of provokes conversation. But what made you want to write it?
So it kind of started for me with a slightly different question, which in a story I was reporting last year, a different story, it came up as sort of a side note that when psychologists are studying adult development, it's really very different from child development, where there's kind of set things that, you know, children are supposed to achieve by certain ages, and it's pretty structured in that way. But once people reach adulthood, their development is really a lot more self-directed, and it can go in a lot of different ways, and that makes it very difficult to study. And so that's sort of what I started looking at, and then what came to realize that, you know, even the concept of when you are an adult is really difficult to define, because the line between childhood and adulthood in pretty much every realm of study is very blurry.
And through the course of your research and through your own, I suspect, introspection on this question, did you come up with an answer? When do you become an adult?
No, spoiler, there's not a real answer. A lot of it depends on just how you're choosing to define it. If you want to define it in terms of biology, I mean, there's a couple different ways you can do that. You can say when you're sexually mature, but that's problematic because no one's going to say that, you know, once a teenager is done with puberty that they're necessarily, you know, ready for adult relationships or anything like that. You can also define it in terms of skeletal development, which continues happening after, you know, sexual maturity. So even there, it's pretty difficult. You can also choose to define it in terms of when are you taking on adult roles, like being financially independent, getting married, having kids. But that's, you know, obviously tricky in different ways, too.
Well, here's some of what our listeners are already writing in, and we want to hear and get as many definitions as we can from all of you listening this morning. When did you become an adult? Send us your own definition when that moment occurred for you, or give us a call now. We're going to open up our phone lines early so we can have this conversation about what being an adult these days actually means. 866-733-6786 is our number. 866-733-6786. Here's some things that some of our listeners have written in already. Suzanne writes, I truly became an adult when I worked my first shift as an RN. Another listener writes, I became an adult when I realized how much cereal cost. Christine writes, I became an adult when I owned a vacuum. And then Alex gives a simpler definition. When I turned 30, I'd never expected a silly numerical shift to have as much influence as it did, but it did. Those echo many of the quotes, I think, that you have in your article, Julie Beck, about these either moments, like this Suzanne who writes, when I worked my first shift, but also these more mundane things, like when I finally realize if I want cereal, I have to go buy a box of cereal. Tell us something about the kinds of things that you heard that have to do with people's own self-definition about when they became an adult.
Yeah, so we put out a call to readers, and we got, I think, probably a couple hundred responses. They were very, you know, very different in terms of the moments that people had, and a lot of people felt like they weren't really adults yet at all. But a couple things that did come up repeatedly was, one was having kids, which is probably not super surprising, and another was experiencing the death of a parent.
One of the things that seems to be constant through your article and a number of other things I've read, and I'm curious to hear from our listeners on this question, is whether or not becoming an adult is taking longer now. You quote Lawrence Steinberg, the Temple University psychology professor, as saying the transition into adult roles is taking longer and longer. There seems to be a sense of that. You know, San Francisco, the city where we're broadcasting from this morning, is seems to be a place where people often say, well, where are the grown-ups? Or why are there no adult men in San Francisco in particular? Was that your sense and what you gathered, too, that somehow, for whatever reason, it's taking longer for young adults to become adults?
So my sense is that there's kind of two different ways that people tend to define adulthood, and you know, you can kind of define it however you want because it's really just a social construct, but there's two different ways that kind of keep coming up. One is, you know, when you subjectively feel like you are an adult, and that has a lot to do with people feeling independent and, you know, responsible for themselves, and when they feel like, you know, they're the ones in charge of their life. And then there's sort of the more broad social definition, which is, when are you taking on these roles? And if that's the way you choose to define it, then yes, it is taking longer. you know, people are getting married later, people are having kids later, if they're having kids at all. People have trouble finding jobs after college sometimes. But so in some ways it is taking longer, but it's also not, because when you say it's taking longer, you know, what are you comparing it to? People are usually comparing it to pretty much the period right after World War II, the 50s and 60s, which is really the only time in history that people, you know, got those things, jobs, spouses, kids, house, in a pretty relatively protracted amount of time.
Let's begin our conversation with our listeners this morning. Sue joins us first from Oakland. Sue, when did you become an adult?
You know, that was such a fun question to ponder. And as I was driving, I was, at first, my brain was trying to wrap around that moment that I became a parent or that I got married and all of those obvious conclusions. And then suddenly it came to me that although my husband and I, we just celebrated 30 years together, we've always been self-reliant, independent. But however, when I was 46 and suddenly realized that both of my parents had passed away, it was that realization that that safety net of your parents being on this earth was gone. And even though, like I said, Jack and I were completely self-sufficient, there was that feeling of being an orphan, you know, that nobody on this earth loved us enough to be there for us if we needed it. I'd say that that was a pivotal moment for me, and only 7 years ago, even though I've been acting like an adult for, 30 years.
Was it a sense sort of like this fundamental force, almost like this compass that had always provided something, even as you say, someone in your late 40s, that had been taken away and that's what made you finally feel like, gosh, it's all on me?
Yeah, I'd say that, because I always had such a great relationship with my parents, and they were so very caring and always let us know that if we ever needed them for anything, that they were there. And again, you know, that can be anything. And, I think that a lot of people might think that I'm referring to financial support, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm just referring to that that intangible feeling, you know, that like I say, that safety net, that just that person that is there for you. Suddenly I realized, you know, like, we stand alone.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that saying, you know, if it's going to be, it's up to me.
Yeah. Sue, thank you.
And that was the time in my life that I think I suddenly realized that I was all grown up.
Yeah. Sue, thank you. Thanks for getting us started this morning. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Aisha writes, I thought it was when I had to go to bat for my daughter when an unfavorable situation came up within our school district. I really stood my ground on her behalf and felt adulthood simmering in my blood, all in the name of motherhood. That was true for me until the day my world crumbled, learning my father had died. A part of my identity was gone, my heart orphaned, and the way the world looked through my eyes was forever changed with the sudden loss of my father. Then I had to write his obituary, then help my mother grieve, then tell my daughter, and the thens kept coming. Yes, it was that then when I truly became an adult. It's beautifully written. Thank you. Thank you, Alicia. Let's take another call. Linda joins us next in San Francisco. Linda, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My name is Linda from San Francisco, and I'm calling to say that I realized I was an adult when I was in a group and a question was asked, and a lot of people would look at me for the answer. Look at myself, and it would be like, okay, guess I'm up there.
Perfect. Thank you, Linda. That's a great answer.
Okay.
We appreciate those calls, and we hope you'll keep them coming. It is a fascinating, and it does make you think about when those moments are in your life that begin that kind of transformation into when you're realizing, as our first caller said, that it's all up to me. 866-733-6786 is our number, 866-733-6786. Gerald writes in, one becomes an adult when one understands that reality is not directly affected by just what one wishes, hopes, believes, or desires to be so. That was true in a number of the cases that you wrote about, Julie Beck, too, this sort of realization that, gosh, it's up to me, that I have to be the one who's in charge of my life.
Yeah, and there's a new sort of psychological life development stage that's been talked about a lot, over the past couple decades, which is called emerging adulthood. And the guy who studies this, you know, does a lot of interviews with young adults. I say young adults, we're saying are they adults or not, but I'm just going to say it for the sake of ease. And they really have three things that come up over and over again about when they feel like they're adults. And one of them is sort of a concrete thing, which is financial independence. But the other two are very vague and sort of personally determined, which is making independent decisions and taking responsibility for yourself. And so you can kind of define that however you want. You know, it depends on when you personally feel responsible and independent. And that may be a moment that people have, or it may be sort of a creeping realization over the years.
Dick writes in from Petaluma. He says he became an adult when his parents' tuition check bounced his freshman year of college. And that's when, for him, the lights came on. Again, join us at 866-733-6786. Our question throughout this hour is, when did you become an adult? John in San Jose has his answer to that question. John, go ahead.
Well, like everyone else, it seems like a tough time to discern when I became an adult. But when my mother died when I was 41, I thought, well, I'm finally an adult. But until my wife died 4 years ago and I became a single parent, I think that was the day I became an adult.
John, thank you. Thanks for adding your voice to our conversation this morning. Let's go right away next to Neil, who joins us from San Francisco. Neil, go ahead.
Yeah, I first became an adult at the age of 28 when I transferred into a reputable college and took control of my life pretty much for the first time in my life. But that's not all I wanted to say. The national vice of the United States, it seems to me, is immaturity. Just as Orwell said that the national vice of the English is hypocrisy. We have more spoiled children, the over 21 kind, in this country than maybe any other country does, don't we?
Neil, thank you. Well, let's put that out there for people to respond to, because I think your voice on that is one that would be shared by at least some other people, that there's a kind of annoyance that I think many people feel that people in their 20s, even 30s, perhaps even pushing into their early 40s, kind of resist wanting to grow up. And I'd love to hear from listeners in that age range who maybe think adulthood isn't such a great thing and may want to resist that. Sometimes this is called, as you know, Julie Beck, the kind of Peter Pan syndrome. Say something about that and whether or not you bumped into that and the feeling about young people that, you know, why bother with that? Why become an adult? I want to be young and not an adult for as long as possible.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And I think, again, it depends on what you're defining an adult as. If it's something where, you know, people, I do think that young adults today are kind of derided for not being able to find jobs and not taking responsibility and sort of, you know, running around and hooking up and not getting married and not taking on these roles that everybody, you know, really values. And I think in that case, I think that's a little unfounded because, as I said, really only after World War II were those things ever easy to get. And so it's sort of judging people by an unfair standard because, as you see with Henry Thoreau, really at the rest for most of the rest of history, at least in the West, and that wasn't something that people just kind of got all at once. So in that case, I think it's a little bit unfounded. But you know, in some ways, I think adulthood might be seen as a less desirable thing if you look at, you know, kind of literature and things like the sort of 19th century coming of age novels. The whole point was to become an adult, and you don't see that quite as much anymore.
When you become an adult, our topic this hour on Forum. Join us at 866-733-6786. Email us your moment when that became true for you at forum@kqed.org, or you can also post your thoughts on our Facebook page or on our website. We want to get the views now from someone who's been adult for a while, someone who brings a lot of thought and wisdom to this question. That's Betty Reed Soskin. She is the oldest serving United States park ranger. Now in her mid-90s, she serves as an interpretive ranger at the Rosie the Riveter World War II Homefront National Historical Park in Richmond, California. Betty Reed Soskin, thanks so much for joining us. When did you become an adult?
I'm still working on it. Seriously. I think that at different stages in my life, I would have defined adulthood very quite differently. And at this point, I've pretty much settled on the fact that as long as I'm having first-time experiences, I still have a way to go. Hmm. And that's still happening for me. Except that I do know that when I was 17 and came home having purchased my first black dress, and my mother had me immediately wrap it up in the box and return it to the store because she said that young girls do not wear black, and that I had to be an adult. Hmm. And it may interest you to know that I think I didn't buy my first black dress until I was almost 30. Hmm. So I'm still working on it.
And it sounds like you're also suggesting, and perhaps that's an important thing for us to consider, that there's no moment when you become an adult and that's done, that it's sort of perpetually becoming an adult, and that perhaps part of being an adult is realizing that and realizing that you can continue to grow into who you are.
I think that that's probably true, because at 94, I am so aware in this final decade, because, of course, this is my final decade, but in this period, I'm so aware of myself as an evolving person in an evolving nation, in an evolving universe, that this is simply it's being aware of the cutting edge that you're living on. And I think that edge continues to move out as you continue to redefine adulthood.
Well, Betty Reed Soskin, thanks for joining us. Thanks for adding that important insight and thought. And I will not be surprised if, in fact, this is not your final decade and that you push on into triple digits. Thanks so much for being part of
Bye-bye.
Our program. Other comments coming in this morning. IO tweets, adulthood begins when an individual is responsible for himself and is complete when one becomes responsible for others. It's a nice thought. I'm going to read that again. Adulthood begins when an individual is responsible for himself and is complete when one becomes responsible for others. Katie writes, I became an adult yesterday when I got a notice of an IRS audit. And Rama writes, when I realized my life will be different because of my gender, I will not have the same opportunity as the boys in my class. By the way, this was when I was a little girl in Africa. Fascinating. We welcome your continued thoughts and participation in our hour. We're getting hundreds of comments coming in on social media, email, posted on our website. We'd love to hear and get more of those. You can email us at forum@kqed.org. Post your thoughts on our website, kqed.org/forum, or on our Facebook page as well. And continue to give us a call at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. We're going to take a short break as we listen to a little bit of The Story of My Life by Social Distortion, and come back and take your calls and get more comments as well from Julie Beck, whose article prompted this entire edition of Forum, her piece in The Atlantic called When Are You Really an Adult? Back with more from Forum in just a moment. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED. Story of my life. Story of my life. La, 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 la. Story of my life. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson, and this week for Michael Krasny, our topic this hour, when did you become an adult? We'd love to hear your thoughts, your observations about that question, and maybe why it matters. You know, why does it matter to become an adult? 866-733-6786 is the number. Email us at forum@kqed.org. Post your thoughts on our website or on our Facebook page as well. A couple of comments I want to read. Robert writes in, I'm 49, and there are times when I feel I have not yet fully reached adulthood based on the degree to which I behave responsibly or emotionally in certain situations. On the other hand, I also feel that at age 12, when I became the man of the house, I was thrust into adulthood when, out of necessity, I had to take on more responsibility, which I did well. For me, I'm not sure I'll ever feel completely adult, as there will always be a part of me trying to hold on to my childhood. Fascinating point, I think, Julie Beck. And as I recall, there was someone you quoted in your article as well about sometimes having to grow up fast if you have a particularly challenging childhood, as Robert did and as others do, that adulthood is sort of thrust upon you. And while that matures you in many ways, there may be some wistfulness, perhaps, about wanting a childhood that you did not have.
Yeah, I think the reader that you're remembering, someone wrote in about, being a child of immigrants and having to translate for their parents and that really making them feel like an adult early. Someone I talked to from the NICHD, was sort of asking me.
NICHD?
I'm sorry. That's a National Institute, I think, of Child Health and Development.
Okay.
I want to say that's the acronym. He was, I was going around asking everybody, when is someone really an adult? When is someone really an adult? And he was saying, I think you should consider, asking the opposite question, which is when are you really a child? Because a lot of people do, have to take on roles that people normally reserve for adults when they are very young. And that can obviously be damaging, but I mean, I think also it may sort of thrust people into feeling like they're an adult earlier than we're used to.
Back to our calls. Dave joins us next from Santa Rosa. Dave, go ahead.
I think I had always been a real responsible individual, but the moment that I truly realized that I was an adult and I had to do things for myself was when I upped and moved from San Diego to Santa Rosa. And in the first week when I bought my house, I had almost no money. I had no ability to get any food one night, and I got a call that my best friend had passed away, and it hit me then. Not buying a house didn't hit me, none of that hit me. All the responsibilities I'd ever had, it was losing my best friend that truly made me realize I was an adult.
So something about a realization of the sort of fragile nature of life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for adding that to our conversation. Anthony writes in, I became an adult when I came out as gay. I began to own myself and not let others dictate who I should be. I was simply able to be me. Luke writes in, I'd like to say it was when I moved out of the house at 16, but no, it was when I realized that I'm the only one stopping me from accomplishing my goals. And that was only about a year ago. And Paul writes in, I'm still waiting for that bleep to happen. On that note, let's bring in Michelle T. She joins us now. She's the author of How to Grow Up, a memoir in which she narrates her life as an aspiring writer in San Francisco, bouncing between various dead-end jobs, as she put it. Michelle T., thanks for joining us. When did you become an adult?
Oh my God, I feel like I've become an adult in increments, and I'm probably still on my way, but I have a baby now, and that is a really huge wake up to adulthood. Like, you better be an adult by the time that happens.
How did that change you for you? Did you really feel like, okay, I have to take care of this person now. I can no longer be the person being taken care of?
Kind of. I mean, it took me a long time to get pregnant. I had to jump through a lot of hoops because I started as a single woman and then I ended up acquiring an amazing female partner. And so it took us a long time. Along the way, I think just realizing as I was engaged in this whole process that I really knew that I wanted this baby and I really felt certain that it was the right thing. And that made me realize that I had really grown up somewhere along the line, to really feel confident that I could take this on and that I wanted to, that I was fine with the sacrifices that it meant that I'd have to, be integrating into my life. That made me really realize that that some sort of adulthood milestone had occurred.
It also sounds like you're echoing a bit of what our Betty Reed Soskin, who we had on earlier, who's 94, interpretive park ranger at the Rosie the Riveter National Historical Park in Richmond. And she said even at age 95, she still feels like she's still becoming an adult, that part of being an adult is to keep perhaps expanding that definition, not getting locked into what that may mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think I found the road to adulthood really challenging, and it was something that I really wanted because I felt like I'd spent a lot of time sort of staving off adulthood, and it didn't really work out for me. But now feeling like I am an adult, you know, I think it's really important also not to take that whole concept too seriously. You know, you don't want to end up stuck in some sort of weird, rigid place feeling like, oh, I can't do X, Y, and Z now because I'm too old. Or it's the worst when people say things like that, whether it's people saying, oh, I can't wear that outfit because I'm too old, or, you know, it's too late for me to, you know, start a new career, all those things that people tell themselves because they have reached adulthood. I mean, I think that's also really dangerous. So it's good to keep maybe one foot in childhood and one foot in adulthood and try to surf that wave.
Nicely put. Michelle T., thanks very much for adding your thoughts to our conversation this morning.
Thank you
Appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
Yeah, pleasure to have you on. Let's go next to James in San Rafael. James, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Hi, I think I started becoming an adult in October of 62 with the Cuban Missile Crisis. I was 19 years old. I was working on missile systems for the Navy. I was in the Navy. That sort of got my attention, my infatuation with rockets sort of turned into something else. I probably completed the process of becoming an adult when I refused to sign up again for another tour of duty, realizing it was incompatible with my values. And when you leave the military, you do leave a lot of security. So you do have to grow up at that point.
Yeah, so interesting. I mean, you know, for those of us old enough to remember that time of the Cuban Missile Crisis in 62 is such a riveting moment, and there you were in the thick of it, and then your additional, I think, very insightful observation that to leave that because it wasn't right for you required and demanded a kind of self-reliance and sense of adulthood and individuality and accountability for that. James, thank you. Really helpful. Thank you. Catherine writes in, I feel like I was always an adult. Eldest child of five, my youngest sibling born when I was 12, and she was handicapped. When you're 12 years old and you know you're supposed to give a brain-damaged baby phenobarbital to prevent seizures, you are an adult. It prepared me for what was to come. Catherine, thanks. Thanks for adding that to our conversation as well. Lisa joins us next in Santa Clara. Lisa, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I feel like I became an adult when I spent my junior year of college in Spain, and I mistakenly thought someone from the program would meet us at the airport in Madrid. There was no such person. Not only that, but my luggage did not arrive. And even though I did speak Spanish, I could not remember a word to describe my luggage, even though I had the matching carry-on with me. And as other callers have said, I realized it was all on me to get myself and my one carry-on from the airport to my place of residence. And, you know, in that moment, it was, I was scared and I was excited and it was, okay, now what do I do?
Hmm. How old
so
are you
me,
now?
That was it.
How old are you how now, old, Lisa, if I may ask?
I'm 54. So it was a long time ago.
Yeah. And so how do you look upon, we heard Neil earlier in the program sort of, you know, chastising in a sense, I think it's fair to say that too often now young people are unwilling to sort of find their own luggage and do what needs to be done. And he thinks immaturity is a real problem. Do you share that view or do you have a more charitable view of today's juniors looking for their luggage?
Well, you know, coincidentally, my youngest niece, I will not name her, is going on a similar journey next week. And her school it's a much more shepherded program, if you will. And it's the classes are in English versus Spanish. When I went, it was in Spanish, and you lived with a Spanish family. She's going to be living in an apartment with classmates that she already knows. And the school does everything for you. You know, they, everything is more shepherded. So
yeah,
in that sense, you know, he's right. And
yeah,
I do agree in some cases in my experience that I agree with him.
Yeah. Lisa, thank you. Thanks for being
you.
Part of our show today. And we'd welcome hearing from other young adults who might want to push back a little bit at that point of view about what you see as the challenges, perhaps, to being an adult, particularly here in the Bay Area. Elliot tweets in, to quote a friend, "I used to be an adult before I moved to the Bay Area. Lack of housing here has us all living like college kids." So we'd love to hear from some younger people also on this question. Let's go next to Sabrina in Sacramento. Sabrina, go ahead, please.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have really two moments. The first, I was 16, and I was going to high school, and I started working for the state government, so I did part-time in each. And I was 16 working with all adults, so I felt like an adult, although I was quickly reminded each day when the gentlemen, most of them didn't know I was under 18, but they'd walk away from me as soon as they found out. They would try to hit on me. So, but anyway, and then the other light bulb moment was when I got married young. I was 19, and I called my mother when we had our first fight, and she said, "You're on your own now.
Hmm.
You're going to have to handle your issues yourself." I was so hurt, but that was a light bulb that came on.
So was she right?
She was. What she didn't know, and because I didn't say it, he turned out to be violent. So the fight was more than an argument.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I didn't stay married to him. I was getting divorced at 21.
Yeah. So you became and had to become an adult, very much an adult, early on and on your own. Sabrina, thank you. Thanks for adding our voice and your definition to what it means to become an adult.
And I do agree with the incremental thing. Though.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Constantly learning. And so to me, until I transition out of this lifetime, I'll always be working on becoming an adult.
Sabrina, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Here's a quote from your story, Julie, that I'd like you to comment on, and comment on this sort of interplay we're getting from our callers earlier, Lisa and Neil, sort of pushing a little bit at maybe slow to mature young people today. And here's someone that you interviewed named Maria who wrote, "I can't figure out if I'm supposed to," this is someone who's 28 years old, "I can't figure out if I'm supposed to start a nonprofit, get another degree, develop a wildly profitable entrepreneurial venture, or somehow travel the world and make it all look effortless online. My ducks are in a," she concludes by saying, "my ducks are not in a row, they are wandering," which I thought was a great little epigram. What's your view on that, both what you're hearing in this program, that sort of pushback, but also this feeling among young people about, my ducks aren't in a row yet. They're out there wandering, and particularly if you live in the Bay Area, it's hard to get them in a row.
Yeah, I don't know if people's ducks ever stop trying to wander. I will, you know, time will tell, I guess, on that one. But I think that a lot of the anxiety just comes from, you know, comparing your own life to other people's. And that's a lot easier, you know, now than it was before we had the internet, and everyone's very well documented Instagrams and everything. And I think it's sort of a thing where, you know, what people are, you know, a lot of times in writing, people will say, you know, don't compare, you know, your first drafts to somebody else's finished product. And I think people are doing that with their lives a little bit. So you know, and everybody wants to be seen as a little more put together than maybe they really are. But I think what we're hearing, you know, from a lot of people is, you know, everybody struggles in their own ways, and they're each little duck is trying to get out of line. So
nicely put. Let's go to Aaron next in Livermore. Aaron, go ahead, please.
Hi. You know, this topic is very thought-provoking for me because it was just yesterday that I was thinking about the same thing. I mean, as a 21-year-old, I still got a long way to go, but I was writing out all of my life goals last night, and one of the questions I had to ask myself, if I'm going to accomplish these goals, who must I be? And I realized I sort of needed to make a transformation and take that step into adulthood and start viewing my life through that lens with a sort of self-discipline and focus.
And so what does that mean for you, Erin, in sort of concrete ways as a 21-year-old going forward into this new year where you've established these goals for you? What does that mean in a day-to-day sense?
I think it means creating a sense of balance and consistency, waking up and going to sleep and kind of creating something that's not robotic, a journey throughout life that, you can maintain these goals and, you know, write them down and figure out which year you're going to accomplish each goal and kind of go from there, I guess.
Erin, thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
We're joined now by Marcus Shelby, the well-known Bay Area jazz musician, someone who's been a guest on our program in the past and has some observations on this thought as well. Marcus Shelby, when did you become an adult?
Oh, I'm still trying to become one. I'm sorry if it's a little loud. I'm on the street trying to make this phone call, but I believe, certainly when I moved to Los Angeles in my early 20s, I went to school down there, CalArts, and during this time period when I suddenly discovered that it was all on me, everything, even haircuts, bills, rent, everything just sort of became much more clear. And I think that might be the case for a lot of people. I'm not saying that's a very unique thing, but for me it was coming from, basically a smaller city and going to Los Angeles and having to be responsible. That's just from that standpoint. And from a physical standpoint, your body goes through a lot of changes. And I was an athlete most of my life. And then when I became more involved in music, some of my activities kind of fell away. It wasn't as active as I used to be. And so, you start seeing the physical changes even quicker.
Yeah. And just curious to ask you one more quick thing, and we'll let you go, Marcus, because I know you're on your way somewhere. But what would you say to kind of aspiring artists, young artists? Because sometimes I think we look at people who kind of want to hang on to those dreams of being in the arts, being a musician, actor, perhaps, as sort of resisting adulthood. Because let's face it, it's a very, very difficult way to make a living. How do you balance kind of what you need to do to be a performing artist and the passion that you have to bring to that, but also still be able to pay the light bill?
That's a very good question. And what I would say, and I only know this because I've had an opportunity kind of to live a little bit, is to definitely have a long-range goal and have a long sort of, kind of a longer timeline of what you want to accomplish. And so if you start thinking in time periods of 5 and 10 and 15 years, then I think you can start to clearly see how you can develop yourself in different areas to achieve those goals. And I just remember this one story when I was 20 years old and I was just starting to play a lot, play out. And it was after one of the gigs I did, this young man came up to me. He was an older man. And I thought, we had been playing well and that we had been, sounding pretty good. And he came up to us and he goes, "Wow, you guys sound great. You guys are going to be really good in 10 years. And I was like, I was so offended by that statement. I was like, "What? 10 years? I don't have 10 years. I was 20 years old. And I was so like, wow. And I didn't understand what he was talking about then. But then after 10 years later, I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
exactly.
So, and a lot of that comes with just sort of, really having a long-term vision and being patient, taking one day at a time, and not being discouraged when things don't happen right away. I mean, I can't count how many times I was disappointed early on because something didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand it, but I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready as an artist.
Right.
And so that really helped me.
Marcus Shelby, thank you. We'll check in with you again in 10 years and see how you're faring.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for being part of our program. Let's go to Tricia next in Walnut Creek. Tricia, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. So I am someone who is, I guess, a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll first start with what I felt when I first became an adult was when I started being a caregiver for my grandmother and then subsequently my grandfather. And after my grandmother had passed, I had found out that I was going to have a baby, and I was told that wasn't going to be possible for me. So I had to come. I was excited for a time where I wasn't going to be a caregiver. I didn't have all this responsibility. And all of a sudden, now I have a really huge lifelong responsibility, essentially.
Mm.
And so for me, that was a huge turning point of, well, I guess, yeah, I'm an adult. I guess there's no turning back now. Another point I wanted to make was you asked for a little bit of pushback because everyone is talking about how millennials are entitled and we're not the generation to go look after our own luggage. And I want to say to those people, we didn't raise ourselves, you know? If they find that exists in my generation, those people need to take a look at themselves and see who is parenting those people. Because we didn't give ourselves participation trophies, you know. We didn't give ourselves, you know, the things that all these older generations are complaining about. They did. So they need to look at themselves. If they're so unhappy with the quote-unquote monsters they created, then they need some accountability in that, hey, they're the ones that did it. Like, I don't understand the emphasis on putting it all on us, you know.
So. Yeah. Very well put, Tricia. Touche. Good for you for pushing back on that if people are entitled, it may have something to do with how they were raised. So, Tricia, thank you. Thanks for adding in your point of view to our conversation today. Appreciate it very much. Thank you. Number of other comments coming in that we want to read to you. Wendy writes, an adult is someone who takes responsibility, not just for themselves and their family, but for the greater society and generations to become. Cecilia says, I feel like I'd truly become an adult when I got business cards. Christine writes, for me, I realized I'd grown up when I realized that my parents are human, that they make both good choices and poor choices, and that you're able to disagree with their choices and viewpoints, and the world won't stop spinning if you do. Joanna writes, I've joked around for the last 10 years that I'm pretty sure I became an adult when I purchased my first gravy boat. Hosting Thanksgiving makes you feel very adult. Good point. And to Morris in Emeryville. Morris, go ahead, please.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I want to say that I became an adult like everyone else in this country at age 18 when you're allowed to vote and you can go to jail and not juvenile hall.
All right. There you go.
Like you're an adult, but also like maturity is on a spectrum. And I started to mature like at age 5. I couldn't wait to be an adult. I was like an adult in a child's body. And I was sitting there thinking, what is wrong with these children, like, acting and playing and having fun? Part of that was because I was molested, and part of that is that age 6 on, I started to get picked on all the time.
Hmm.
I couldn't wait to grow up and take on responsibilities of adulthood. I felt like an adult trapped in a child's body. I didn't have a lot of friends. Moving on, I experimented with drugs and lost my virginity and got my driver's license all at age 16. That was a huge step in, like, maturing for me. After that, 18, I voted in the first presidential election I had a chance to vote for, and I saw Bush come into office and lived a pretty tortured existence throughout the Bush era.
Morris, I'm gonna have to stop you there. I appreciate your giving us your kind of play-by-play account of your process towards adulthood, and I thank you for joining us on our program. We just have a bit of time left, and I want to get in a few more points of view. But thanks for being part of our show. We'll go next to Nathan in Oakland. Nathan, go ahead.
Oh, good morning. One thing that I've really found important as far as coming of age is financial independence. I know it's something that, I mean, I'm 24 now. I still struggle with that. Not being independent with, you know, I mean, of course, I pay my own bills and all that stuff. But really grasping, you know, finances, being able to put savings away, being able to, carry my own in the world. I know it's something that I kind of missed out. I don't know if it's funding, I don't know if it's policy, but it's not something that I had an option to learn in high school. And, you know, I know a lot of that is like, okay, maybe it's not all the schools. The parents should do that too. Well, they didn't so much either. But anyhow, that's just that's something I'm finding. I know that I will feel more like an adult once I have a better grasp on that.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck, Nathan. Thanks very much for your observations as well. A couple other quick comments, and then we'll wrap up and have Julie Beck make a last comment for us. Katie writes, I remember feeling very adult when I went away to college and paid my first KQED membership on my own dime. Lisa writes in, I'm with Neil deGrasse Tyson, who told a young girl that the greatest thing about being a scientist is that you never have to grow up. Angie writes, I truly became an adult when I got my heart broken for the first time. And Nicolette says, I felt like I became an adult when I started getting pre-approved credit card applications in the mail. Julie Beck, last observation from you is, you know, it's been a fascinating hour. You hear how much people are fascinated by this question. I'm sure that was your experience in reporting the story, too. So I just want to close by asking you if you've become an adult.
I think I have. So the way that I'm defining it, you know, is pretty much you start at a baseline of I can take care of myself. I can independently, responsibly live my life. But I think that you do continue to grow from there. And there's obviously a ton of ways that you can continue to grow up after you've reached adulthood.
Well, thanks for being part of our program, and thanks for writing this piece. It's provoked a wonderfully interesting hour for us, and I appreciate your contributions towards making our program possible this morning. Thanks, Julie Beck, very much.
Thank you.
Two comments we'll end on. Pete writes in, adults are obsolete children, quoting Dr. Seuss. Nice thoughts. Adults are obsolete children. And Rob writes, I grew up in the suburban Bay Area with a naturally liberal lean. I didn't grow up when I went to college to learn about the injustices, poverty, and hunger in the world. I didn't grow up when I worked in the halls of Congress in Washington, D.C. I grew up during my first months of policing the streets of San Francisco. That's when I realized the adult thing to do is to take personal responsibility for one's own actions, both mine and the people that I came across. Thanks to everyone for their so interesting and insightful comments as part of our program today. And it's been a pleasure for me to be back on the air here at KQED, filling in this week for Michael Krasny. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.